preach here, I am not criticizing your church. Neither am I criticizing your pastor, or nor any man of God you have regards for. I'm a preacher of God's word. And the word of God, like God, is no respecter of persons. In describing the word of God, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. The word of God is a sword, and it is a two-edged sword. It is not a one-edged sword. It is a two-edged sword. Amen. It is front and back. So as it is cutting the congregation, it is cutting the preachers too. It's not one-sided. Praise God. Because we receive text messages, phone calls, when we air our program on television, and we are one of the satellite stations, the Hosanna station, on my TV every day from 5 to 5:30 in the evening. And we receive a lot of reactions from all over the world, most of them commending our efforts. Amen. We receive emails, and recently one of them called Pastor Thomas' number and was blasting him, and it's a woman. Instead of you people to stand pre-salvation, you are standing there, you are condemning everybody, you are condemning everybody, you are causing division in the body of Christ by what you are preaching. And he tried, wait now. Sister, wait, sister, listen, sister, yes, shut up, don't talk. And she cut the line. She was very angry. And I'm sure the denominational or the Pentecostal man will say that is holy anger. Amen. They never hear anything yet. Hallelujah. They never hear anything yet. We're only doing testing. Never hear anything yet. We are raised up to expose the enemy. Church, you are coming to Brother Assembly. You are not coming to a denominational church. You are not coming to another Pentecostal church. You are not coming to a new generation church. It's not a new generation church. This church you are seeing here started almost 2,000 years ago. This church is very old. Hallelujah. It started from the days of the apostles. That is when this ministry started. So don't think that it is a new generation church. It is an old generation church. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Is good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good. And it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's one of our songs in our hymn book. I've forgotten the number. Now, has one of you that says, I would rather be an old time Christian than anything I know. Hallelujah. There is nothing like an old time Christian with a Christian love to show. Hallelujah. I am walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I would rather be an old time Christian than anything I know. Hallelujah. That's what I'm doing now. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I would rather be an old time Christian. That's where I belong. Because the Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. We have a responsibility to give out a message. And the message is the beginning of the rapture. Hallelujah. One of these days, this rapture will strike. But this rapture goes in a process. And Apostle Paul tells us that the first step for the rapture is the shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself will descend first with a shout. That shout is the end time message. The shout has gone forth, calling out God's children out of denominational system. That is what this ministry is all about. And any time we carry microphone in this church, we speak to give you every reason to leave the denominational system. That's why I say we'll never hear anything yet. They never hear anything yet. Because we just scratch. Hallelujah. The message is come out of her, my people, and don't be partaker of her sins. Praise God. So those who get angry with us, they only gnash their teeth for nothing. And if I call anybody's name here, he is free to take me to court. And he will go to court. And I will go to court and I will defend myself. I will not take a lawyer. I will bring the Bible and stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I will tell the judge why I said what I said. Amen. Romans chapter 9. See something? I want to borrow a statement in verse 6. Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. Revelated Apostle Paul, the first messenger of the church ages, the first church age messenger. This is what he said. He said, not as though the word of God has taken none effect. That second statement is where I want to go. He says, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Amen. That's a very deep statement, isn't it? Amen. They are not all Israel. Israel means priests with God, which are of Israel. It's not everybody who is of Israel, hallelujah, that is a true Israel of God. It's not everybody who is in Israel now, carrying the passport as a national of Israel, that is a true Israelite. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. Hallelujah. I am borrowing that statement to bring it down to our day now. It's not everywhere you see signboard church that is the church of Jesus Christ. It's not everyone that says he's a servant of God that is actually a servant of God. You believe what I'm saying? Let me see your hand up. Put down your hand. But you know that it's not everyone that says he's a servant of God, he's a pastor of a church with large followership and everything, that is actually a servant of God. But the problem is, you don't know how to identify a true servant of God. Tonight, we shall be looking at the topic, how to identify a servant of God. Praise God. Why do we say that? Church, listen. In our study of the seven church ages, amen, and the sealed book, that book in Revelation chapter 5 that was sealed, that no man was worthy to open the seals. Only the Lord Jesus Christ appeared. And he was described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah that had prevailed. In our study, church, listen. You came here to pray. Amen. We came to pray. But it's not only prayer that will set you free. There are some things, some problems that it is prayer that will set you free. But there are some problems that you get free from them only from a knowledge. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. I've been rejoicing since this early this week. I caught a big fish. Okay. I caught a big fish. Now, the Pentecostal, if they tell you, I have caught a big fish, it means they have caught a millionaire. Eh? Hallelujah. Amen. But it's because they don't know who a fish is. If they don't know a fish, amen. They don't know who God refers to as a fish. Anyway, a fish is a sinner that has truly been converted. And the deeper you have been in sin, the bigger that type of fish is considered in the kingdom. So, when an armed robber gives his life to Christ, you have caught a big fish. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, my own junior sister is an Elijah. Married to an Elijah. Hallelujah. This week she gave her life to Christ. That's a big fish. Hallelujah. So that's a big fish. A very, very big fish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is a serious one. Serious one. Very serious one. That tells me that the fire is still burning. Still burning. That's why we don't write off anybody until that person dies. This one has been very, very stubborn. All these ministers, they know her. All of them, they know her. Before you talk, So I used to call her Al-Qaeda. But now, the Holy Ghost has arrested her. Hallelujah. She's coming here on Tuesday to be baptized. Praise Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Now, in our study of the Antichrist system, I want to recap something for those of you who have listened to that teaching. We tried to explain what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying in Matthew 16, the statement that he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I tried to explain to you that the gates of hell that Jesus Christ was referring to was the move of the Antichrist against the church in the church ages, depicted by those four horse riders in Revelation chapter 6. The first horse rider was a white horse. A change to a red horse. A change again to a black horse. And the fourth change, it changed to a pale horse. And we explain what each of those horse riders, what the activities were in church history, and why the Holy Ghost depicted them like that. But like the Bible says, when the enemy rises like a flood, what will the Spirit of God do? He will raise a standard to counter it. God himself, knowing that there will be a storm that the enemy will rise against the move of the Spirit, he reserved four beasts, the anointing that he reserved to counter the move of the Antichrist, depicted by those four beasts in Revelation chapter 4. The first one was what? Lion. The second one was what? Calf or ox. The third one was what? Face of a man. And the fourth one was what? The flying eagle. And I told you, each time when it was a white horse rider, the anointing that God used to counter it at that age, that he released upon the true children, the bride for that age, was that lion anointing to counter it. And we explain it on and on for you to understand. And that at this seventh church age, the gate of hell that the enemy is using to raise a storm against the church of Jesus Christ is the pale horse rider, which is the spirit of deceit. Deceit. Remember that it was a red horse before when they were killing. But when the more you kill, the more they were giving their life to Christ, he decided to take away the Bible from them. That was the Dark Ages. It lasted for almost 1,000 years. Until God decided to come and counter that with the face of a human being that is using human intellect, when he started with Martin Luther and the Reformation started. That was when they began to get Bible colleges to teach the people what the Word of God said. But when he said, okay, they are all reading the Bible, then he moved to the pale horse rider to deceive the people. He will read the Bible, but make you misinterpret the Bible and deceive you so that you are reading the Bible, but you will not understand. And when the Pentecostals in 1906 came through the Azusa revival that started this latest Pentecostal move, and then the gifts began to manifest, he too came with his own anointing. So his anointing, Abby, speaking in tongues, evidence of the Holy Ghost, he began to make people, they teach yourself how to speak in tongues. So Somebody is teaching you to speak in tongues and telling you that you have received the Holy Ghost. So, you know that is worse than killing you physically. Because it's deceiving you. Hallelujah. So, everybody wants to go to heaven. And this is the way to go to heaven. But Satan makes you take another way. Will you ever get there? No. So, he has no problem with you. Speak in tongue. Holy Ghost, speak in tongue. Speak in tongue. Oh, this is the period of grace. Then he began to teach the people what is the meaning of grace. It doesn't matter. It's we are in grace. Just come anyhow. We are in grace. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And in this age of the pale horse rider, the spirit of deceit, he God raised, release an anointing to his bride in this age, depicted by that last beast. What did he use? The flying eagle. That's why in this church, our logo is the flying eagle. Not only us, but all believers of this entire message worldwide, our symbol is the flying eagle. Hallelujah. That is the spirit, the anointing that comes upon you. Hallelujah. The eagle sees far. The eagle flies the highest. At that height, what he sees in the heavens is the small chickens and hawks cannot see it. Praise the Lord. When it comes to the depth of the revelation of the word of God, by that equal anointing, we go deep. Amen. That's what we say. I didn't go to Bible school, but I would teach the doctor of divinity water baptism. Hallelujah. How did you know all this revelation, Pastor Moses? Amen. It's the equal anointing. It's not only Pastor Moses. Everyone that comes across this entire message, there is an anointing that is released upon you. All of a sudden, when you open your Bible to read, there is an understanding you begin to receive that you didn't receive before. Let's serve in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The anointing is not only for the preacher. The anointing is for every believer. So that the laity, the congregation, can also watch the preacher. If he's going off, they will tell him, hey, you are going off. By that anointing. Church, we are in the end time. Anytime from now, the rapture will strike according to God's program. And God is warning his people. For he say, he who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. I'll read it from verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And the disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, the temple there is the beautiful temple of Herod. See you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us. They asked him three questions. Number one, when shall these things be? Which things? The destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. When will it be? And we know today that it came to pass, this first question. When? A.D. 70. Hallelujah. Exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, they killed him in AD 33, and in AD 70, those Roman soldiers came according to Daniel chapter 9. The people of the prince that shall come. That is the prince, the people of the prince that shall come. And the prince that shall come has not come yet. But the people of the prince that shall come, he said they will come and destroy Jerusalem. The prince that shall come is the Antichrist. Hallelujah. His people, the people of the prince that shall come. And it was the Roman soldiers that came. It means the prince that shall come is coming from Rome. And that is the Antichrist. He has not come yet. The first question has been answered. When shall these things be? The second one, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? We have it on our altar. The sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That is one of the signs hanging there. The mystery cloud. Hallelujah. And thirdly, the sign of the end of the world. And verse 4, Jesus began to answer them. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is his answer. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name. In my name. Saying, I am Christ. And shall deceive many. I am Christ. And shall deceive many. Listen, church. He didn't say many will come and say, I am Jesus Christ. He said many will come and say, I am Christ. And deceive men. Christ means the anointing. The anointed one. What he's saying there is that many people will come and say God has anointed them. And with that anointing that they display, deceive many. Verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore? If they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. He went ahead. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28, here is my emphasis again. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Praise the Lord. Signs of the end. Number one warning about the spirit of deceit. The end, the spirit of deceit, is that false prophets shall arise. And church, when they say false prophets, the tendency is for us to look at seers. That word there is a compound word for anybody that says God will say. As I am talking now, I am prophesying. Because I am reading the Bible and I am saying this is what God is saying. Therefore, I am prophesying. Therefore, I am Prophet Moses. And but these prophets don't like that me to call that name. They don't like me. They don't feel comfortable when I even in small vision call like this. I talk them. They are uncomfortable. Amen. I don't know why they don't want me to be a prophet. I don't know why. Praise God. And so it means a preacher of God's word and also a seer. And let me tell you something. A seer cannot deceive you when it comes to the things of salvation. What the seer can see we show you a false seer. We do is just to give you false hope. False hope. To tell you, sister, he said, he told you in last year, sister, Afam is your husband. Thus said the Lord. Until last Saturday, you discover. You discover that he is false. Because Abraham no marry you. You go marry another girl. Now those are the kind of things, you know. Because I heard in 2003 on television a preacher, Galaxy Television, I watched it live. I don't know how to reach that station that day. And he was saying the man and they call name, oh, and they want to remember his name. His ministry is Resurrection something at Yaba. Timothy, thank you. He said he's Prophet Timothy. 2003, they were preparing for elections. And he said that God told him that Babangida was going to be the president that year. And he was saying and given instances of prophecy he has given. The man is a very confident man. And he is arrogantly confident. So you then the journalist that was interviewing said, we will quote you after this election. No, he said, quote, there will be no need. He said, because we will only be celebrating Babangida. Now, that man is a seer, but he is a false seer. So he's a false prophet. Now, those are the things that can deceive you. You know, your business will come to pass, the thing will come to pass. Your mama no go die, the second day your mama die. This one, you know, those are false. So they are not serious ones. But the one the Bible is referring to, amen, they are those that stay to show you the way of salvation. Instead, they mislead you away from the way of salvation through their messages that they preach. False preachers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Apostle Paul also prophesied the same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's important that we just take note of this. Verse 1. If you are there, then we'll go to 2 Peter chapter 2. You see? So that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let the matter be established concerning false preachers, pastors, servants of God at the end time. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, it is thus said the Lord, that in the latter times And this is the latter times now. This is the period the Spirit expressly was speaking about. But in the latter times, some believers shall depart from the faith, giving heed, that is, listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Are you there? 2 Peter chapter 2. Church, this is Bible study. Bride Assembly, we start our vigils with at least 2 hours of Bible study. Your church, where you are coming from, they use 10 minutes of Bible study. Chap, 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 so that they don't waste the people's time. The first service is 7 a.m. The second service is 9 a.m. 8 a.m. You start 7 o'clock, second service, 8 o'clock, third service, 9 o'clock, fourth service, 10 o'clock. So you are not used to studying the Bible for too long. In your church, they do Bible reading, not Bible study. First reading, second reading. Here we study Bible. So I say open Bible, some people carry eye, they look at me. I be Bible. Verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people when they left Egypt for the promised land. Israel is known as the church in the wilderness. And as it happened with Israel natural, that is how it will happen with Israel spiritual, the church. That's why he's saying, he said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even deny the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Is the prophecy not fulfilled now? Because of their pernicious ways, he said, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. These days now, go and see how unbelievers make caricature of preachers. Come and see how these comedians, how they make caricature of the nonsense that is going on these days in Christianity. The way of truth is evil spoken of because of the attitude of these false preachers, teachers. Verse 3. And through covetousness shall they, with smooth words, big grammar, sweet words, with feigned words, make merchandise of you. Commercialization of the gospel. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And please, I am looking today at the topic, I say, how to identify a true servant of God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. There are 3 types of servants of God in the Bible. The first group we see are the groups that we see in 1 Kings chapter 22, the 400 prophets of Ahab. They were dining with the king. They are genuinely gifted of God. Praise God. Genuine gift of the Holy Ghost. But because of what they will eat, They are supposed to be the spiritual eye of Israel. So that when the rulers are not doing well, God's anger will be communicated through them. But they were busy eating and dining with a renegade king, Ahab. And praising him. I said, the Lord is with you. 400 of them. Amen. And we have them today, even in Nigeria. Hallelujah. Very close to those who are stealing our money, but as long as they can contribute to their church programs, contribute to them, give them, dash money to them, they are ready to carry people to the mountain and be praying for people that they should have been condemning every day. Amen. That is one group. But in that same Israel, there was another group. Micaiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me go back to the first group. The first group, they are what we call the blinding ministers. They are the blinding ministers. Those two angels that went to Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgment of God was set for Sodom and Gomorrah. Two angels went there and blinded them. And then in that state of blindness, the fire fell. Remember that judgment was hanging over Ahab because of what he did. He killed Naboth and collected his land. He collected his farm, his vineyard, under the advice of his wife, Jezebel. And the prophet Elijah went to him, thus said the Lord. He said, where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, there also will dogs lick your own blood, says the Lord. Amen. We don't have such prophets again in the land. There is one man of God that tried to act like a prophet. But I think he has decided to cool down now. He's taking another side. Tunde Bakare. He wanted to speak like Micaiah and Elijah. He said, Obasanjo will not climb that rope. He said, God told him so. I heard him. And, well, Obasanjo didn't stay one time only. Stayed second time and even attempted the third time. Making Tunde Bakare a false prophet. Hey, don't be angry. If you like Tunde Bakare too much. He's a false prophet. False prophet. Praise God. No matter how charismatic you are, no matter how polished your grammar is, no matter how you act, amen. Church, listen. That young man wants to be seen as a radical. But he's not a spiritual radical. He is a human rights fighter. That's all. You see where he has ended up now. It's now, if God will not do it, he will do it by force. So he's entering streets. Going to Abuja. No. Elijah was not like that. Elijah went straight to the king. You have killed and you are taking possession, Abi. I'm preaching, I'm reading Bible. 1 Kings chapter 22. Open it. Go to chapter 21 first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 14. After they killed, chapter 21, 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 14. Then they sent to Jezebel saying, after they had connived and then false witness against Naboth, just to kill him, kill the innocent man and collect his piece of land. Verse 14. Then they sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. They don't kill him. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to him, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus said the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus said the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick the blood, even thine. Instead of answering, repenting, see what he said. And then I have said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? Because people don't like truth. And he answered, I have found it, because thou hast showed thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Who can talk to a president like this now? Which man of God? Praise the Lord. Now listen. Some years passed, and it looked as if that prophecy will not come to pass. Then suddenly, that is chapter 22 now. Then suddenly, Jehoshaphat came to visit Ahab, the two kings in Israel. And then Ahab remembered their piece of land, the portion of land in Ramoth Gilead that belongs to them, owned by the Syrians. And he said, wanted Ahab, Jehoshaphat, to join him to go and collect the land. And Jehoshaphat, according to the custom of Israel, before you go for battle, you will go and inquire from the Lord. He said, let's find out now whether God will allow us go or not. Do you have prophets here that we can inquire? He said, Abba, them plenty. And he gathered 400 of them. 400 prophets. They came, they prayed, they shook their head as they used to fall under anointing. Thus said the Lord to thou king anointed of the Lord, go and prosper in that battle. The Lord is with you. Thus said the Lord. Ahab said, Jehoshaphat said, you see, but Jehoshaphat is gifted. There was no vibration in his spirit when they were speaking. So he said, Ahab, do you have any other, apart from this 400, do you have any other one? 400 speaking. But Jehoshaphat did still say, any other one? And Ahab said, there is one, I don't like the way that man prophesied. His name is who? Micaiah. Hallelujah. He said, no, don't talk like that now. Let him, if God talks to him, let him come and tell us now. Well, I'm cutting the long story short because my emphasis is not the story. My emphasis is to let you understand what those 400 prophets represent now. 400 prophets. But when Micaiah came, Micaiah spoke different. I see Israel scattered on the hills like a sheep without a shepherd. So the Lord said, everybody, go back to your tents. Ahab, look at Jehoshaphat. Say, I told you. I told you that this man will not prophesy anything good to me. And one senior prophet came out, Hezekiah, I think that's his name. Hezekiah is his name. He came out because he was the one prophesying with horn. Zedekiah. That's his name. Zedekiah. He went to this man of God and wired him a slap. Power! Where did the Spirit leave me to go and speak through you? Hallelujah. A true prophet will never fight back. Do you know that? He said, thus said the Lord, you are arguing, he go look, you go. Because nobody in talker. Now wait till he hear, he talk. When you hear anybody defending his message, he talker by himself, nobody God. Because now wait till I hear, now I tell you. You should only challenge me if it doesn't come to pass. He looked at Zedekiah and told him, you are slapping me now. Wait and see. When you be running to hide yourself for whole, you go know when the time comes. Ahab said, go and lock him. Put him in the inner chamber. Lock this Jehoshaphat. Let's go to the battle. When we come back, we will see him. He added, Micaiah added, said, that is if you come back. Hallelujah. Of course. But what is happening? Suddenly, Micaiah's eyes were open. And he began to tell them. He said, you see God in heaven having a meeting with his angels. As soon as Ahab decided to go for that battle, a meeting was ignited in heaven. God was saying, come, give me idea. How are we going to push him to go for that battle so that he will die in that battle so that the prophecy of Elijah will come to pass? That's where I'm going now. He said, so this one brought this idea. He said, another one brought this idea. The Bible said, all of a sudden, a lying spirit came and said, Oga, are they here? I'm ready for action. A lying spirit. And God turned and looked at him. Somebody will say a meeting was going on between God and his children. What brought a lying spirit there? The Bible says Satan has no address. He goeth to and fro. Even here now, he can pass by here. If there's anything interesting here, in case it's needed, he will come. Hallelujah. Because his time has not come yet. Hallelujah. He is in the ministry of to and fro, in case I am needed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan is still coming to church. He goes to true churches. He goes to church of Jesus Christ in case he is needed. Even here now, in case he is needed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because if you refuse to pay your tithe, there must be a devourer. So in case it is time to devour, any of God's children that doesn't pay tithe, he will come, Father, here I am. If the Lord needs somebody, Satan, here am I, send me. A lying spirit came and he said, I have an idea. I will go to those his prophets. And I will speak through them that he should go. Hey, God, he said, that's a good idea. Oh yeah, go. They were all prophesying. They were seeing vision as they used to see. They were hearing voices as they used to hear before. They were seeing screen before their face. They were certain. The vibration was as usual. All of them seeing the same thing, but by a lying spirit. Why? And that spirit was released by God. To do what? To cause Ahab to believe a lie so that he can be destroyed. Why? Because he has no pleasure in, or rather, because he had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For that day, the day that Jesus Christ will come, shall not come except there come a falling away first. Fall away from what? From the apostolic faith. Fall away from Bible Christianity. And that man of sin be revealed. Who is that man of sin? The prince that is to come. The Antichrist is revealed. The son of perdition. Who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Hallelujah. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God himself will do something upon them. They don't want truth. We speak in truth. We've spoken, you've heard it. You read it in the Bible. Your conscience tells you too. The Spirit of God bearing witness with the truth. But you say no, you turn down the truth of the word of God, and yet you still want to go to church, you still want to carry Bible, you want to be a worker, you want to be a preacher, you still want to serve God, but you don't want to serve him according to biblical prescriptions. You want to serve him your own way. Because of that, the Bible says he, God, will give them over a strong delusion to make them to believe a lie. Ahab, you know that what you are doing is wrong. You married a woman that the law of Israel, the law of the God of Israel, forbids you not to marry such a woman. A king You married a woman that brought idolatry to Israel. The women of Israel were not painting their faces before. It was Ahab that introduced it to them. And that same spirit is in the church of Jesus Christ now. And when you tell them, remove those things from your faces, they'll say, hey, we're in grace. Hey, we're in grace. It's Ahab that brought that thing they put on the head. It's Jezebel. Jezebel introduced it to the women. She was first lady. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See? I went somewhere today. One of these communication offices to recharge my internet. The lady that was punching the thing, the nails. So she was battling with the nail, and we had to punch the keypad because the nails, she put those funny nails long like this, and so she was battling with it, and I was looking. And that one goes to a church. She goes to a church. Praise God. See, you watch television. You watch those nonsense music those unbelievers play. Plus, even those who say they are gospel artists. You watch it. Every one of them is attending one church or the other. His pastor, her pastor, is watching her. In fact, they launched that album. And the man is telling her, oh, that's a beautiful voice. That's a wonderful talent there. Oh, you're so nice. I love that performance. When you are shaking your bum bum, it was very nice. And they don't know who that man is. Because you want to serve God under your own terms, He, God, will give you over to a delusion. He will do something that will make you to believe a lie, so that in the course of believing that lie, you will be destroyed like Ahab was destroyed. How did he do it? It was preachers, prophets that he used. Hallelujah. But they were prophesied by a false anointing, and they didn't know. It was a lying spirit that was upon them. Oh! Matthew 22 verse 5. It is abomination for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man. Read it. Let's read it. Read it. Read it. What did they tell you? What did they tell you? What did they tell you? Did they tell you, sister, you cannot wear trousers? No, 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 no. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Lord is not looking at your dress. The Lord is looking at your heart. And the listener that say, ride on, pastor. Because she's dressed there, I'll leave her belly. She dressed there, leave her pants open. And she said, pastor, ride, ride. Oh, I love this pastor. And unknown to you, you have been deluded. There's a spirit upon that man that is deceiving you to have pleasure in unrighteousness, so that you will be damned, carrying Bible, yet going to hell. Somebody say, Azubaba. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, the first group of ministers are those 400 prophets of Ahab. That is what I call the deluding ministers or the blinding ministers. So, is your pastor a blinding minister, a deluding minister, or he falls within the true servants of God, that whether you give him gift or not, hallelujah, whether you give him present or not, like brother assembly ministers are suffering. Ike, then they remember you. Amen. Thousands of people are coming to this church. They come here, they collect our anointing. When they get the testimony, they run. They take off. Amen. They don't want us to come close to them because they are afraid we know the type of business they are doing. Micaiah! Whether you give him something else or you not give him, he will only tell you what is thus said the Lord. A true servant of God will be like Micaiah. So Micaiah is one group. Remember that the deluding spirit is God that sent it to them. The true servants of God is also God that sent it to them. And they are depicted in the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew chapter 13, where he said, the owner of the farm, the vineyard, he planted good seed while men slept. That is the story of the church of Jesus Christ. The men that slept are the apostolic fathers. After they passed away, he said the enemy came in the church and planted his own seed also. And the word of God is known as the incorruptible seed. So if Satan planted his own seed, it means he planted the seed that William Branham called the seed of discrepancy. He planted a wrong seed in that same farm. And as the boat grew, the servants of the owner of the farm now is asking him, "Our master, was it not wheat you planted? How come we see tares also?" And he said, "An enemy has done this. And this farm is the church of Jesus Christ. Pure, unadulterated word of God was planted. But as time went on, false doctrines began to mingle in. And how do we know? By their fruits you will know them." The church of Jesus Christ started clean, pure. Liars could not sit in the church. And Ananias and Sapphira, they packed their dead bodies when they gave a lying testimony. But you know churches today that arrange false testimonies. Praise the Lord. I was blind, now I can see. You know men of God that stand at the altar and say, "God told me," when God told him nothing. Hallelujah. Fornicators are sitting there comfortably in the church. From the altar down to the congregation, they drink fornication like water and nothing is happening. See? Who are those that are celebrated in the church? They are the chief sinners, drug pushers, thieves, robbers. And when we say robbers, now small robbers be the ones where they carry gun. The real robbers, they do it under air condition with biro. And they are the ones glorified in the church. They are the ones that have easy access to the Jew. You see? But God said, the servant said, should we go and uproot them? He said, no. Leave them to grow together. Lest while you are uprooting the tares, you end up uprooting the wheat also. He said, leave the two groups to grow. He said, and at the end time, at the harvest time, he said, he will send his reapers to separate the wheat from the chaff. And if this parable does not make you to have a second look at the church of Jesus Christ now, then you will never come out of confusion again. He said, he will come, send reapers. What are they to do? He said, they will bind the chaff, the tares, and bundle to be sent to where? Fire. Which fire? It's hell fire that is awaiting unbelievers. There will be people with the Bible. They will be in a bundle. They will bundle them to fire. And the bundling is going on now. They are bundling them. They are going on now. They start with a smaller bundle. Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria is a bundle. They carry them like this to a bigger bundle. Christian Association of Nigeria. Then from there they are bundled to the World Council of Churches. And from there finally to the Ecumenical Council of all religions. Bundled together. Where are they throwing those bundles? Fire! That is what that parable is saying. Ha! May you not belong to that bundle in the name of Jesus Christ. But there is another bundle. The wheat. Another reaper. We pack them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That bundle is bound by the word of God. For what? He said, and then take them to the barn. Take them to the barn. They are the group going in the rapture. You see? So, every preacher today is a reaper. You are gathering one group or the other. You are gathering one group or the other. It's true. You say, okay, what of these small ones that are just starting? Which one do they belong? Watch every one of them. Watch every one of them. The small ones will never get branch yet. Look at them, enter their office. You will see Oyedepo picture on top. If it's a Pentecostal man. That is his mentor. He's telling you that is the bundle he belongs.